This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, you're with Caroline and Ezra, and this evening we're speaking about a documentary. And of course, it's been over a year now since the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight MH370. In spite of complex ongoing search and rescue efforts covering millions of square kilometres, MH370 and all of those on board still remains a mystery. Today we speak with Justin Ong, the director of Remembering MH370, a documentary which looks at how the family members of those on board MH370 have coped with their loss. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So just a little backstory on this documentary, Remembering MH370. I imagine that this documentary was produced to be in line with the one-year anniversary.
Yep. It was basically done to coincide with the anniversary of MH370. Because at the same time, we understand that during this time, there's going to be a lot of interest in the subject matter, of course. And as we understand, there were a lot of documentaries that were done on MH370, but we took, I would like to think, a different approach to looking at what happened to the tragedy.
All right. So before we get into the approach or the angle that you decided to go with, how long in the making, when did you plan to do this?
I think the total time it took us was about 6 months.
Right.
But we did look back at a complete year of what happened, meaning we dug up our archives, personal video, personal footage, interviews that were done before. Mm. So the entire span of the story actually took over a year, but in terms of the production, it was about 6 months.
Okay.
Well, it's quite fascinating because, you know, as a documentary filmmaker, this subject matter is of great interest, but of course you're also Malaysian. And when the incident happened, were you observing how this was going to pan out? Because this would make such an interesting story, however way it was going to transpire.
Yeah. I think like when it first happened, I was completely shocked about what happened. And, you know, like I think most people, you know, I was glued to the television for like literally 48 hours. You know, I didn't turn it off. You know, it was like live streaming on every different channel with different experts popping up here and there. And yeah, you know, it was, we found it interesting and I thought it was, a complex mystery. But I must say, I didn't think it would take over a year to still not find the plane. You know, there's still no answers. I think when it happened, I thought, okay, you know, it's an airline tragedy and, you know, maybe we will find a plane. Maybe not in a week, but maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months. But I think as time went by, more and more people sort of understood that it's actually more complex than what we all initially thought. So yes, it definitely, you know, had the potential to be a good story.
So when exactly did that idea come to you? Okay, we're going to do a documentary about it, and so on.
I think it was probably about 4 or 5 months after, right. And I think at that time there was again no real concrete evidence of what was or what happened. Mm. No physical evidence was found, and I think it was at that time where people were saying that, you know, maybe it's not going to be as easy to do as to find the plane as possible. As
so, yeah. So your objective for the documentary at that point?
I think at that point, we had a discussion with the broadcaster at that time, and one thing which was great, which we agreed upon, you know, if we were going to do a documentary, we didn't want to focus too much on the conspiracy theories because, at that time, there was no answers, basically. You know, everyone didn't quite know what happened.
Yeah, just a lot of theories.
A lot of theories. And I think when the tragedy first happened, like a month after it happened, there were already a lot of documentaries being made on the subject matter. Mm. There were already a lot of documentaries exploring the different conspiracies, you know, even on live news, you know, they were bringing in experts
right.
every hour, and they were already going through every possible theory they had at the time. Mm. I mean, from UFOs to hijacking to black holes, I mean, everything came up. So we felt that, I mean, in the absence of any new information, you know, that sort of angle was almost has been explored to death. So we decided to focus more on, you know, what we feel is that maybe a side of the story that isn't given much focus on, which was the impact on the family members,
and
I guess a human aspect, yeah. the human tragedy. I mean, everyone's talking about the scientific, you know, the technology. What happened to the black box? You know,
right.
Do we have radar? You know, it's all technology based questions, but no one really looked much at what was happening with the families. So that's what we went with.
All right, we're speaking to Justin Ong. He's the director of a documentary called Remembering MH370. Of course, it can be seen online at channelnewsasia.com. We'll be right back after this, BFM 89.9. It's the evening edition. You're with Caroline and Ezra. And in the studio with us is Justin Ong. He's the director of a new documentary called Remembering MH370. The documentary looks at how the family members of those on board MH370 have coped with their loss since the tragedy. It's available to be viewed online at channelnewsasia.com. Justin, so tell us, we mentioned about how this documentary is a looks at how the family members, not just in Malaysia, but in other countries as well, how they're dealing with this entire tragedy. How did that whole process start? Because I can imagine that family members may not be necessarily rushing to be in front of a camera to share how they feel.
Yeah, I think with this documentary, I mean, the approach, I mean, we were very aware of the sensitivities involved. And when we first started with the research, you know, we obviously had, you know, a list of people who we would have liked to speak to. And, you know, we approached them and we got a wide range of responses. I mean, from people who just were pretty much pissed off at us for even asking the question.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Like,
right.
You know, why do you guys keep bugging us? You know, even though, for us, it was the first time we approached them, but I'm sure...
From their perspective,
whether it was other media outlets or other journalists, you know, might have approached them. I don't know how it went. And then there were some who, I mean, they were not angry, but they sort of politely declined. And even those that... we got to agree to be featured in a documentary. They didn't say yes immediately. You know, there was a lot of, getting to know each other first.
And persuading.
And them wanting to know what the angle of our documentary was about. And, yeah, we had to meet in person with a lot of people first. And at least we know with the Malaysian side even, I mean, some of them...
It sounds like there were a lot of closed doors before you got to family members who were willing to speak to you.
Definitely closed doors. Not only that, I would say a lot of them were, suspicious of what we were, who we were,
right.
What we were going to do about it.
Yeah, and I suppose it's unsurprising when if you have the media at your door, 24/7, trying to find out what it is that happens, and you don't have the answers yourself, you would be suspicious, I imagine.
But I think it's also the acknowledgement or awareness of these family members that this tragedy is so juicy.
Sensationalized.
And so it has such an easy sort of route to becoming just another sensational story. Mm. And I think that's perhaps what they're worried about. Yeah.
So how did you narrow it down to the pool of people that you featured eventually? I mean, was it essentially who said yes?
Well, we were fortunate that we had a few people who said yes. But we also wanted to focus on people who were, maybe still actively doing something, you know, with regards to the tragedy, whether they were looking for answers or whether they were trying to change their lives or trying to struggle in a way to try and move on or move on as best as possible, you know. Mm. Not move on in the sense that they forget their past, but, you know, get on with life. And I think that's sort of the basis where we did our research in terms of trying to select characters, not just in Malaysia, but in China as well. We sort of wanted each character to offer a different insight into what was happening, where some characters really struggled to move on. You know, some said that, you know, the only way to survive is to get on with life. Mm. So that was an interesting process for us in terms of trying to figure out, you know, what each character, you know, offered in terms of insight.
Yeah, because for those who haven't seen the documentary, it follows at least about two families here in Malaysia and one other family in China. And what's great about the documentary, but also difficult to watch as a viewer, is that you have access into the lives of how these people are reacting and their day-to-day struggles. And I'm assuming that for them to allow that access to you guys as well.
It's a vulnerable position to be
yeah,
in.
Were there concerns on their part about how much to let you guys in?
Definitely. I mean, I think with this show especially, you know, when we started out, you know, it was pretty much very basic questions at first, you know, and we didn't want to, you know,
scare him away,
you know. But as we got to know the characters a lot better, you know, and I think they began to open up a little bit more, and you know, that's where we started asking, you know, some of the, I guess, more challenging questions, you know.
We're speaking to Justin Ong, the director of Remembering MH370, a documentary that looks at how the family members of those on board MH370 have coped with their lives. It's available online at www.channelnewsasia.com. After this, we'll ask Justin as to whether it was broadcasted here in Malaysia, right here on BFM 89.9. And it's the evening edition. You're with Caroline and Ezra speaking about Remembering MH370, a documentary that you can find online at www.channelnewsasia.com. In the studio with us is Justin Ong, the director. And Justin, we're speaking about you know, how you and your team would continue shooting this documentary. But of course, with a story like this where there are ongoing developments, was there a concern that you would be, you know, wrapping it up too soon, just in case, you know, 3 days later they would find the plane or some new positive development?
Yeah, it was definitely a concern with any documentary like this, which is more observational based. You know, everything is pretty much fluid. And in fact, fluid not just in terms of story, but, you know, because we didn't know what was going to happen. So we almost had to be on our toes all the time, you know.
And have contingency plans
as well. Yeah, and have contingency plans. I mean, we literally had people, you know, from our sources telling us, texting us, hey, this is happening today, you know. And we're like, okay. You know, that's in 2 hours, and we had to figure out a way of getting there in time to get the footage. But yeah, I mean, when we started, we struggled with where do we end the story, you know, in terms of what was going to happen.
And because there is no ending to the actual story,
exactly. But we sort of knew, or we sort of anticipated, that it's not going to be one of the stories where you have a neat ending. Mm. You know, it's the story probably continues. Mm. You know, so in essence, maybe having it that it was designed to be broadcast on the anniversary almost helped us, because, you know, no matter what, we have to finish the story by then. Because if we didn't have that, you know, the story is
a definite of timeline.
Yes,
anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, for us, we decided to end the story on reunion day for Chinese New Year, because that the whole idea of reunion is a time for family members to get together. So it's an especially emotional time, especially for the Chinese families. So we wanted to see, you know, I mean, on this day in particular, you know, 1 year ago, you were with your loved ones. Mm. And how's the experience different this year, and how they felt?
And so what changed in the process of your narrative in terms of what you wanted to present? What real life events happened that sort of changed the route?
Well, I think we thought we had the story completed probably about, I think, 3 weeks before we were supposed to deliver the show. You know, we thought, okay, you know, we filmed everything, we spoke to everyone, we got everyone's insights, you know, so okay, you know, story done. Mm. And then there was a the announcement that was made rather suddenly, I think, by the Department of Civil Aviation.
This was this year, wasn't it?
Yes, was this year. And where they declared that basically it's conclusively that, you know, they said that the flight has ended, and that everyone on board was presumed dead. And it was a pretty big statement, I think, especially to the family members. And it triggered quite a response from them, you know.
And obviously it changed your entire storyline.
Changed my entire storyline.
Yeah.
Because from there on, I mean, we thought everything's wrapped up, you know, nothing new is going to be announced. But they made this huge announcement, you know, and then everything started changing again, you know.
Because with that announcement, it triggers, at least visually for viewers, it triggers this emotional response from the family members in China who are seeing this and just are appalled at this announcement, because it almost resets the entire process in which they've been going through for the past, you know, 8-10 months before that.
Exactly. I mean, for a lot of them, I mean, it's almost like a recurring nightmare, you know.
Yeah.
They keep hearing different sort of announcements being made in media, and one of the things they talk about is sometimes, you know, they don't know how to react, you know, like say, oh, you know, we have to move on with life, and then there's a big announcement that's made.
Mm.
And then so they struggle with that emotionally, and I think this time, for whatever reason, it triggered a huge response, to the point that, you know, some of the family members, you know, actually from China came over to Malaysia itself because of this announcement.
And so Remembering MH370, people can find it on www.channelnewsasia.com. One of the main features of it is focusing on the human and emotional side of the story. I think what's interesting is that as the camera follows all of these different characters, there seems to be a bit of a roadblock when it comes to getting answers and responses from the relevant authorities, be it ministries or agencies or departments here in Malaysia. What was that like for you? Were you guys actively looking for those kind of folks to participate in your documentary? And how was it different to following these characters trying to look for answers themselves?
I think with any documentary that we do, any story, we try our best to get a both sides of the story. You know, we want people to give their opinions, you know, those who are for it, for those who are against it. But we want everyone to give their opinions. And we tried to do the same thing with this side, with this story. You know, yes, we had access to the family members and all who gave their points of view, how they felt, what they were dissatisfied with. And at the same time, we also tried very hard to get the side of the story from the authorities, be it the investigating team or, you know, even some members from the ministry, you know, to offer their explanation of, you know, why is it taking so long, you know, what are the challenges which they've encountered, which I'm sure there are many, you know, mm-hmm. with a case as complex as this. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, you know, no one agreed to talk to us from the authority side. So we kept trying. I mean, we sent countless letters through official channels, you know.
Unofficial channels.
We basically tried everything, but we were politely told no.
No, just, you know, Justin, you've worked on so many documentaries. And so this kind of impasse is quite familiar. I'm just wondering what sort of strategies do you use, or and what point do you give up? Because sometimes it can provide such an opportunity, not only for the authorities, but for yourselves as well.
Yeah, I mean, how we look at it is that we want to give people an opportunity to tell their side of the story. You know, people, you know, you get people saying things about them, you know, but we would have liked the authorities to give their side of the story, you know, tell us what's going on, you know. In terms of strategy, I mean, we kept trying. I mean, from the start, you know, we tried from day one right up till the after the final announcement was made. We tried again. Nope, nothing.
And I suppose, to be fair, the authorities do have mainstream media.
That's true, in terms of communicating and giving out their explanations. Folks, we're speaking about Remembering MH370. In the studio with us is Justin Ong, the director. The documentary can be seen at www.channelnewsasia.com. After this, we'll be right back to ask why it wasn't broadcasted right here in Malaysia. BFM 89.9. Good evening. You're with Caroline and Ezra, and we're speaking to Justin Ong, the director of a new documentary called Remembering MH370. It looks at how family members of those on board MH370 have coped with their lives since the tragedy. It can be seen at www.channelnewsasia.com. Justin, of course, we've been directing a lot of folks to the website to watch the documentary. It was aired first on March 8th, 2015 to mark the one-year anniversary. Tell us how you found out that this documentary was supposed to be broadcasted right across the region, Southeast Asia and Asia, but you found out later on that it wasn't actually broadcasted through HIP TV right here in Malaysia.
Yeah, I mean, during the airing of the documentary on that day, I was actually out of town. You know, I was overseas. You know, but I managed to catch the documentary on Channel News Asia. So, you know, everyone was talking about it. So great, my friends caught it online. They would say, "Oh, you know, great documentary." And then I think it's only when I got back that, you know, people started asking me, "Hey, you know, what happened to the documentary?" And I said, "Oh no, it went on air."
Yeah,
I saw it.
You know? Yeah, and, you were pretty confident that he was like, "Hey,
I saw it.
I was there.
I was there. I watched it." So, but then, I mean, there were people who were telling me that they turned into the channel at that time, and you know, there was another program on. So, yeah, that's when I thought that maybe
you got the time wrong.
Yeah, maybe you got the time wrong, or maybe they flipped to the wrong channel. But I guess there were more and more people telling me the same thing. And that's when I thought, you know, oh, maybe something happened.
Well, what's interesting is because, you know, this story is such a Malaysian story on so many levels. And I think, was it 10 days before the anniversary, there was word about a National Geographic documentary that was being produced by Nat Geo UK and how Malaysians wouldn't have access to that particular documentary as well. People will have to view it through all sorts of different means. But, you know, it would seem that this documentary produced by Channel News Asia, it would seem just natural for Malaysians to see and understand this story.
Yeah, and
did you go digging around to find out why it wasn't aired?
I asked a few questions, yes. But no one could give me anything conclusive. Okay. You know,
really got to look at these strategies, Justin.
Yeah, I know.
And getting some answers.
Yeah.
I mean. It's unbelievable. All right. So, but moving forward, you know, what was interesting, I think you had a private screening in PJ recently. And, I was there. And what was interesting was some of the family members who are featured in this documentary, they actually attended the screening. And certainly their reactions to watching it, you know, on the silver screen, it's quite overwhelming for them because it goes beyond being an individual struggle, but a collective one.
Yeah, definitely. I think for this documentary screening in particular, it was a bit different because usually when we have private screenings of our documentaries, you know, we want to celebrate the work that we have done, the effort that the team has put in. But for this particular story, you know, it really wasn't quite about us. You know, it really was about sharing a story that we felt that, you know, people should know about. And we did think twice about whether to invite any, you know, of the people featured in the documentary.
Because you're not sure how they would react.
Yeah, we weren't quite sure how they would react because from their point of view, we just interviewed them. They had not seen the end result. They had no idea what angle we portrayed them in. And I can understand, you know, it's quite a daunting experience seeing that for the first time with everyone else.
Mm. So you could be just a sensationalist sort of
as the next
guy, director. You never know.
Yes.
So what was the response like?
I think it was quite an emotional response, I think. Anyone who watched it then, especially the family members, it was quite overwhelming, I think, because you're really looking back at a year of your life and what happened. But I think for... at least for the family members who were in Malaysia, I think what was interesting for them is seeing how the families in China coped with it for a year. And at the same time, I mean, they're all sort of, I guess, united by this tragedy, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they know each other. They're not necessarily in contact with the families in China. Yeah, they sort of know, okay, there are some families in China and this is what happened.
But emotional grief, you're going through the
emotional
exact
grief.
Same thing.
And with the approach that we had with our documentary, you know, we focus on really getting an insight, an intimate look at these families, you know, being up close and personal with them, filming them in their most private surroundings,
of course.
In their homes.
You know, what's really interesting is that, you know, we keep referring to this number of 239 passengers and crew, and then you have all the people related to them. But what's fascinating is that you're right. The folks in China would have a completely different approach to, you know, making sense of all these two families in Malaysia. And they're not connected to a particular forum or some sort of body. It's, you know, they're all for themselves, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I think for the families here who watched it, just to see what they've been going through, it's, I don't know if I would say it's comforting, but at least they know that they're not alone.
Yeah, exactly. I would imagine that it may not be comforting as such in that it doesn't provide the answers, but that was one of the things that I was wondering, you know, whether or not it feels as though interest for the whole incident has waned away and whether there's fear on the side of the families that, you know, the story will go away because nobody's looking and nobody cares anymore. And with a documentary like this, I imagine that, you know, this feeling of, you know, we're still in it together, we still hear you makes
a difference.
And I think
you see a little bit of that in the documentary where I guess the stamina of families is being worn out. Just rejection after rejection, it's just knocking them back.
And in fact, that's exactly, I mean, you hit it right in the head, is that that's exactly why they go through this again, this whole process of talking about it, of agreeing to be part of the documentary. It's not easy for them, but they know, you know, even though it's difficult, I have to do it because if I don't talk about it, no one else is going to talk about it and it might be forgotten. So they force themselves in a sense to bring out those emotions again, you know, as opposed to just blocking it away and just keeping it compartmentalized.
I mean, what's interesting, you know, talking about this whole process of having discussions about it, in China, I think the family that was featured in the documentary, they were mentioning that how they're being monitored by state authorities as well through their WhatsApp chat rooms, and it just feels that they had no outlets themselves. Do you know what their response to the documentary was? Or how it at least was perceived in China, because they make up such a huge part of the story.
Right. Well, right now, we still haven't had any news from them yet on whether, I don't know if they have access to this documentary.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
We think we have it hard.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
But,
right.
But we obviously have told them that the documentary is out, and I think they will find a way of watching it somehow through their means. But yeah, I mean, they
that is so cryptic.
Yeah.
I mean, even plugging the website at this point in time seems kind of fruitless.
Well, it is not fruitless, and it is a way to keep the story alive, and we shall plug it again.
Absolutely.
It's channelnewsasia.com.
And so, Justin, for folks who are watching this documentary, how long they can continue to do so online?
Yes, I think it's going to be online for quite a bit, as long as people are still interested in the story. I think for a story like this, it's a story that still continues. So I think people will be interested in seeing what happened.
Thank you very much for joining us, Justin Ong, the director of Remembering MH370. You can watch it at www.channelnewsasia.com. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.